Welcome to the Edge Up Podcast with your hosts Reed and Glenn from Hawaii Trading Academy.
Yeah, so like coming up at Trade 60, a lot of the takeaways is like we constantly move the needle forward, you know, and I think it's super relatable to trading. And it got me thinking about like the percentage of traders, like quote unquote, the, you know, that whole statistic of 95% traders fail, maybe it's even higher. There's no actual specific study based on it. But I think a lot of prop firms nowadays, you know, they're talking about how many people passed their evaluations, how many people got actual funding, and then how many people actually received a payout, their first payout. And then it even gets even more refined where how many traders actually keep their funded account and get consistent payouts for 6 months and above. And I think we'll leave the link in this episode below, but in one of the websites, it talks about on average, it took the average of three major prop firms, one of them being MyFundedFX, and they came to the conclusion through running the numbers that only 5% of traders actually succeed. So I kind of wanted to cater this podcast episode around defining success in trading, defining consistency, and what that actually looks like in trading. I want to throw the question to you, Gun, like, what is define success, man? What do you see as success? And I'll be happy to share mine after the success, yeah. Specifically in trading.
Success in trading, right? There's many way people who define it differently. Of course, we all have our definitions, but I think it also changes as you yourself as a trader. Like for me, you know, the success changes throughout the years, right? Obviously, when I first got into it, I'm like, oh, I want to make a ton of money, you know? But I think as we grow, success can look like instead of me being stuck glued to the charts, I want to be enjoying my time and freedom with the ones I love, doing the things that I love to do, you know, and seeing trading as a way to create income and buy your time back. But also when it comes down to like the daily things, like success in trading is being able to execute your strategy as best as you can. Don't allow emotions to make your financial decisions. Don't repeat mistakes day in, day out. Like you're growing, you're learning. Yes, always learning, and even meeting wonderful, great, awesome people in the community, you know, and using the money to help better the world, you know, and that's what success looks like to me as a trader. Of course, you know, people get caught up in the fancy blingy stuff, but ultimately to me, that's what that means. What about you, Brad?
Along the same lines, man, like I immediately think of like success as it's a vehicle, or trading is the tool or the vehicle to success. And success looks like living life on my own, by my own means, you know, the way I want to live it, doing the things I want to do when I want to do it with whomever I want to do it with, you know. I think that's the real definition of success. I kind of define it like, or I see it as, let's say something comes up and you just don't want to do anything for the day. Like you could choose to do that. It's choice. Yeah, it's freedom of choice almost. Whereas like if you're stuck at a desk job or like stuck at a specific job, you have to either tell someone, you know, you have to have a valid reason or excuse, and you basically you're responsible to someone else and rather than just yourself. So yep. That's in a definition of success. There's a time and place for the fancy travels, the fancy luxury goodness of life that modern society calls luxuries. But I think at a deeper, meaningful level, success is, yeah, there. And to a sense, there's like, it's doing what we do, man. It's just helping people get better at being more being better, just being better in general, helping people be better, helping traders be better traders and people.
Yeah.
Best version of themselves.
I think like success is, you know, it could be the end goal for many people. For some people, it could be just like a moving target. You know, we hit different milestones in our lives and we know that we have more in the tank as far as potential. And so it could lead to bigger things. Like I've never dreamt about like doing the things we're doing now, you know, like it wasn't on my radar back then. And it just shows, I think what's more important than I think hitting success itself is the road to success, you know, and there's a few things that come up with that, right? Is consistency, as we're kind of started off the podcast here. The consistency, bro. Like you mentioned, there's only 95% of the traders fail in a prop firm challenge, for example. And that road to success is only available to the 5% of the population or the people who are in the field trying. And so what is the defining or separator between that those two groups, you know?
So I was looking up about like success and like these statistics and everything, because we always hear it, right? And it's kind of funny, man, because like when we hear that stat, why does everyone focus on the bigger number? Like everyone focuses on, only 90% or 90% of traders fail, 95% of traders fail. All right, so why are we focusing on the failure rate? Why not? Let's look at the success rate. So 5% succeed. And what are those 5%ers doing? You know, and fun fact, there's a prop firm called 5%ers. Just wanted to throw that out there. If you wanted to get funding through them, there is a firm called 5%ers. But anyways, I think Mike Belfort said it best. He said, like, success is sustaining the energy to improve daily. You must become an elite performer, and you do that through your willingness to learn. And it's not belittling another person's success or bringing up how hard it is to be consistent in this industry. Because, like we said, do you want to be part of that 95% or you want to be at the 5%? So Mike Belfort puts it clearly that, like, the 5% of the people, they're not looking at others and saying why they can't be successful or why it's so hard or what consistency really is. The 5%ers are doing the consistent thing, and that is they're actually doing the work. They're actually putting in the time to learn, to open their mind, to say, okay, I was wrong. How can I improve? I don't want to be part of that percentage. I want to be a 5%. What are you doing right? You know, they're asking those questions. They're doing the work. And so he also talks about it, about in this post, on how the best traders, like, you could come in and do the work. And there's traders who have actually been able to trade firms' money and everything. But the moment that they start deviating from the learning process, meaning like they think they're too good that they can't fail, that's when they actually let these traders go off of their floor, because that is a true sign of failure, is you're the unwillingness to learn, the unwillingness to change, to say that you were wrong. And so he's like, they're plain and clear with their rules on at SMB Capital, right? And so I think that's a good rule of thumb to follow.
Yeah, I mean, there was a saying I heard, like, if you're not growing, you're dying, right? So like one of the biggest things that the biggest things that people don't realize, you know, that are dream killers is comfort kills, guys. You know, those traders you're talking about, they made their way up and they're successful, they got comfortable because they made a decision. And it comes down to that, making a decision to be better. Like, you have to, in order for anything else to happen, you have to bet on yourself, believe in yourself, you know that, make the decision. Hey, I want to change my life for the better. I want to go ahead and do that one more thing, spend that extra 15 minutes studying, 1 hour, you know, daily, or, you know, put down the phone on social media because I don't need any more distractions. You guys got to make that decision, because like little by, I mean, if you're not strict on yourself, then, you know, how you do anything is how you do everything. If you like half-ass it, you know, I admit I have my times, I'll half-ass things, you know, but the end result I get is not the thing I want, you know? And so it kind of puts me back in line. I mean, we just finished Trade 60, and like, we like to do this right away, right after the holidays, because, you know, everyone lets loose. They loose, you know, on the holidays, we just, you know, go down the speed and enjoy the time, enjoy the food, of course, snacking too much. But program with Trade 60 is like, here's our blinders in a way. Here's our structure of how we're going to do things in a day. Like, we have that list. We're going to do the workout. We're going to go drink the water, do the reading. And, you know, that puts us into a good momentum to kick off the year, you know? And it goes back to the daily thing. Like, you got to make the decision, right? Decide on yourself. Like, am I going to go ahead and do the thing I don't want to do? You know, they always have that saying, you know, do the things you love and you won't work a day in your life, right? Sometimes you got to do the things you hate, guys, you know?
Yeah.
You got to go to the gym when you just dislike it at the most. You got to go and spend that extra time to go study. You got to read the books, watch the videos, reach out to the people that might be intimidating to you, or, you know, maybe humble yourself and actually just listen and learn, right? Always try to stay the student, you know? And that's something that Reed and I, we care as a trait. Like, we are learning every day. Like, there's no, you know, we'll never get to that point where we're like, oh yeah, we're too good to learn, you know? Like, I think when you, there's that other saying, right? A closed mind is worth as like a closed parachute, you know? Like, you can't, there's nothing, like, you're so enclosed in your beliefs and thoughts, and the world's out there, 8 billion people, right? There's, for the traders, there's going to be a small group of successful traders who's consistent. Like, why don't you just figure out, instead of focusing on a 95 failure, I mean, I think society is attracted to negative news. That's part of the reason why we're always attracted to that number. Figure out what those 5% guys are doing. The market wizards, the, you know, the legends, the great traders of that's on X. Like, just find a few mentors and dive into them. What are they doing right? What are they doing that helps them consistently outperform the market for 10, 20, 30 years, you know? There's these guys that put out track records. They have to. They have to be public record, 13F reports. What are these funds doing? And that kind of goes back to when you wake up, am I going to get better today?
Side note, what was that track record that you posted? It was gold, right? A gold.
Yeah, it was this hedge fund in Europe. They're currency traders, Forex, but they only do gold cross pairs. So gold yen, gold euro, gold USD.
Yeah, that was cool. So I brought it up because if you guys don't know, Glenn posted a track record in our Discord. By the way, our Discord link is below in the links. But in this screenshot that he sent, it showed their losing months, right? It showed some losing months, but of course, overall, they were profitable and they netted green. But the point of this little segment I wanted to point to is that there's two things here. Is you could be consistent in one way, but it's not moving the needle forward. So we're always consistent. That's something that I want all traders to understand that's listening, is that we're always consistent. We could consistently be opening the charts, looking at the charts, placing the wrong trade, and then closing the screen. You're doing something consistently in that sense. But how to become better as a trader is we need to move the needle forward. And that means logging everything, journaling everything. I don't know one successful trader who doesn't track every single trade or what they're doing in the market. Whether you're a scalper, a day trader, or a swing trader, they have a system of record keeping and they make time to review their performance. So you can't just be firing away rapid machine gun and then wondering why, oh, and then focus on, yep, 95% of people fail. I gotta do more. You definitely do gotta do more, but not more of the same thing. You gotta change it and do more of something else. And that's one definition of consistency as far as action goes. Now I wanna talk about more minute details in like specifically trading results. Now, referring back to that firm in Europe, you're talking about, Glenn, is the gold Forex pairs traders, is the fact that they'll go on 4 to 6 months in profit, lose 2 to 3 months, and then again, gain it all back and more at the end of the year, right? So the point being, you could win 6 months and then lose 3 months, and it doesn't mean you're not consistent. Markets change. People go through ups and downs in life, whatever it is. You don't know, and they don't know, unless it's documented in journal. Oh, okay, so during this time, this was before the great housing collapse or something. And you don't know it while you're going through it, but you looking back, you will know it. Oh, that's why the market was behaved this way. That's why my strategy didn't fit this market for 3 months because of this tariff that happened. And that's why my strategy had a rough patch. So again, you could lose months on end. You could lose years on end. It doesn't mean you are a failure or your system has failed. Again, markets change, but the point being, journal everything consistently. Be have good consistent habits there, because that's part of the process. You're gonna learn. You're gonna discover who you are and how your system functions during certain times. That's all I really got to say, man.
Yeah, it's just pretty much gathering the data and then putting it and documenting it, as Reed was saying, and just building those small minute details, you know, compounding work, compounding your actions. That what you'll be doing like a daily, you know, it stacks up. And at the end of the day, you got to look back and do a self-reflection on yourself. Like, hey, if I have this goal here, am I doing the daily actions I need to do in order for me to hit that goal? You know, am I way off? Right. And it's just a matter of that. And it's so easy to get suckered and distracted by social media, get influenced by it, by all these different things, these facades, these egos. But at the end of the day, like, you gotta figure out how to protect your space, protect your head space, and keep your focus on the things you want to do. You know, I think that's a big thing too. People, they drift off so much because they get distracted from the main thing. You know, you want to keep the main thing, like, stop trying to like just do this one thing because, oh, I'm going to jump to crypto because it's picking up now. You know, if you have a valid strategy that tells you to do so, then okay. But well, why are you gonna do that? Oh, because the hype's there. You know, the track record we're talking about, like, the guy was asked, hey, how come you don't put crypto in your portfolio? And in he has a set criteria for him to be even enter the market. Other than that, it doesn't really exist in his mind. Why is that? And that leads him to produce the numbers he's producing. You know, I think since inception, 75% return. Right?
Which one is this one? Which one is that?
The gold hedge fund.
Oh, that one. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Since 2015, I'm reading the track record. You know, they had their first year, they had 5.2% return. Next year's 36% return. 24% return, followed by minus 6%, you know, and you fast forward it, the cumulative return since they started was 75%. So if, and they're managing over $1 billion. Okay.
Wow.
Over a billion. And so for someone, some person on Twitter X, hey, you guys should add crypto to your portfolio. It's picking up. Like, dude, I keep the main thing, and it's gold.
Sir, that's it, dude. And I think that makes me think like a lot of the crypto traders, they're on the younger side, you know. And thanks to Robinhood, that's why really exposing people who never thought they would trade into the trading space. And these kids are YOLOing money, and they're getting bad amount returns. I'm talking like 200-300% returns on one tiny position, and they think all the markets are that way. And then when you're not diversified, you're a dinosaur, right? We're dinosaurs, man, if we're not diversified that way. But I would love to have a 75% return consistently over decades versus a month of 200-300% return just to YOLO it and lose it all over the next 6 months. You know what I mean? So that's the kind of consistency I encourage our listeners to look for, is, you know, those consistent 2-3% month returns. Because, and that's another thing I thought of just now, is like these kids, they want to have these 100, 200, 300% returns. And I'm not even just talking about kids. I'm sorry, I keep saying that. But like,
Don't date,
just
don't
like,
age us, bro.
I know,
Excuses
man.
are aging.
These tra but traders want these returns, right? Because they don't have enough capital. But what if you had $1 million in capital or under management? You know, 1%, 2% a month sounds pretty luxurious to me. Whereas like, they want to make that off of one position overnight. And that's just, it's possible, but it's also very extremely risky. And I don't encourage that. But I'll take it all back, and I wanted to bring it back to you, Glenn. I wanted to ask you a question before we get too carried away here. We're talking about consistency, man. And the end of 2023, didn't you have like two, we both experienced it, two losing months in a row?
Yeah, it was a September,
October,
October for me.
September, October. Right. And then, so I'm going to intervene here again. It's like Glenn experienced, and I was with him, experiencing this drawdown of 2 months, right? Glenn, did any point during those 2 months of red, were you like, I'm not a consistent trader, I'm not successful? Like, what was going through your mind in that sense? Because I just want to point out that where Glenn is at now, and we'll get into it, where Glenn's at now in his funding and his strategy and his consistency and everything to that, I just want to hear your thoughts, bro.
That's part of the game, right? Drawdowns, for someone to enter into trading and not think about or plan for drawdown periods, they're missing a piece of knowledge, or they're missing experience, because drawdowns will happen. We see it time and time again. People who are managing tons of money, if they don't get a hold of their drawdowns, they end up blowing up, right? And so for me, of course, September was my birthday month, and I was like, yeah, I got this, right? Of course, the little part of me, like the little voice, like, oh, I'm gonna make it big. It's my birthday month. I'm lucky. Nope, dude, Marky gonna tell you what it's gonna do. Going through September, I think it was a bigger loss than October. And for me, like, I just wanted the month to end. When I was at the end of September, I was like, oh, yeah, celebrate my birthday dinner, whatever. I'm like, I can't wait till this month is done, but I had to keep on trading, right? I had to keep on trading. I still got my systems in check. I have
And you're still logging it, you're still
I'm
journaling all
still
those
journaling
losses.
it, right? I do the monthly review. And then October comes around and the market isn't looking pretty as well, right? But I started off the month of October with a nice gold trade. I think that's where it broke 2100 for the first time, I think. But I was able to catch that move. But after that, like, it was just crappy losses, lots of chop. But at the same time, so what's going through my head at the time was like, I have to just take it one day at a time. I have to, it sucks losing, but at the same time, I cannot have my mind think like, oh, I need to catch up. Oh, I need to do this to because I'm down this much. I'm like, I have to come in with a neutral, clean mindset and look at the price action. Is it conducive to my strategy? Do I place a trade? Is it telling me to get in? Is it telling me to get out? And this is where risk management, you know, it was a good reminder how I was able to withstand these losses because my risk management. I did not leverage up when I'm in the losing period. You know, I stuck to my rules. I stuck to my foundations of making the more logical action decision rather than the emotional. So after October,
you risk down.
Yeah, after a certain point, I have a rule. I think after 7 or 8 losses, and I'll risk down a little bit more. And that will take me through, of course. And because I know at the end of the day, like I just need a few winners that will clear my losses and then some. And sure enough, I was able to withstand the October period, and November came around. And those first few days of November came around, Santa rally started. And so, you know, like that's trading. You have to just be able to live to trade another day. You know, I've made the mistake of blowing the account, my account, and being, and really being unable to trade because I have no money to trade. You know, that's a worse position. And hopefully, you know, you don't, as a trader starting out, you don't want to be constantly in that position, you know, and because it does affect your mind. And so if you are trading your system and you're in a drawdown, your risk management and sizing is going to be your safety net. It's your lifeline, and you have to protect it at all costs.
To me, like, you just explained so many ways in which you're consistent, and that I would define consistency. You know, you were consistent in logging your trades through the losses. You're consistent in trading your system that you know works. You didn't try to change it. You're consistent in just accepting it. I think that's a huge thing, is like you accept it and moved on. That's a hard consistency pattern to develop, but once you get to that level, everyone could be where Glenn's at, you know what I mean? And you're funded now, you're a fully funded trader. And I think it's just a testament that you don't have to win every single month. That's the big point I want everyone to take away here.
Yep.
And you could actually lose more as far as streak goes. So like you were talking about losing 6 to 8 trades in a row, you don't have to win every single trade. You don't even have to have a higher strike rate, meaning like you don't have, out of 10 trades, you don't have to have more than 50% right in order to be successful. I think in one study, the lowest on a system you could have is like at least a specific system I was looking at through TrendSpider is 24% strike rate, but like a 5-to-1, you know, it's something like that. And you could still be just over break-even success. Like, it's not a lot, but basically my point being is you don't have to have a high strike rate to succeed in the market. So
right. I heard this in a podcast from one of the I don't know if it was a market wizard, but he describes trading as like, you know how they have like the Macy Day parade, right? And you know people camp, spend tons of time to camp out to go get a good spot on the sidewalk, right? So trading is just that. Like, you know there's a parade coming, right? But all you get daily, you don't know the date and time, but you go and set up your chair on the sidewalk and you wait for that parade. And most of the time it doesn't come, right? And then when you do show up on that day, set up your chair, you sit down, and the parade comes. You get the best seat in the house, and you beat the crowd before, you know, all that happens. And that's what trading is, almost. It's like you have to be up, showing up for that day when the trade comes, because And you're gonna ride that winner. You're gonna be able to position yourself to be able to take that opportunity rather than blowing yourself up and then missing it. That's more painful.
All right, so I'm gonna leave this. This is the last. We're gonna wind down the conversation here, but I wanted to ask you one last thing here, Glenn. Is like, referring back to, you know, the losing streaks and everything. We all deal with them. I think a lot of traders, they're afraid to accept that it's them, that they're it's on them. It's not the market. It's not their system or anything. It's them not being consistent. And so I think they're just not comfortable confronting themselves. And one, they don't have that information because they're not journaling everything. But when they are journaling everything and they come across, you know, 6 to 8 losses in a row, this is kind of a double-edged question here is, one, how do you get comfortable with sharing your struggles, like just with me and even just yourself? It starts with yourself first, right? Yeah. You have to confront your own struggles. Then you're confident enough to bring it to someone outside of yourself, which is like someone like me or our community at HTA. And then, so it makes me think, like, if you don't struggle, you won't learn. So my question to you is like, what were some things that you learned in that 2 month drawdown? Or like, just maybe it doesn't have to be that 2 months, but when you do encounter those sequence of losers, like, what's something you learn that you could take away that maybe you want to bless us with some wisdom here, man?
That's a good question, dude. I mean, there's different layers to this. And one point that you did bring up is a community. Having a trading partner. I mean, of course, when you're going through a tough time, you let yourself know, you let your spouse know if you are married, right? They're going to know. They get the behind the scenes access, and we can bitch to them all we want. And, you know, because they're not keeping up with the markets, my wife is going to be, oh, it's okay, you know. But, you know, they just don't have that understanding. And so what I'm saying is, you know, find that either that another individual where you can talk trading with, because it's good to, you know, just release it, or find a community, or even find mentors. Mentors, their role, you know, they'll help you in different aspects, especially blind spots. You could have the best notes in the world, document everything you do, right? And you're going to see it from your side only, no matter what. But when you bring in a third person, another person, even beyond your inner circle, they can point out things. And it's really key, I think, to go through that process, because one, it brings acceptance that you're in a losing streak or going through a tough patch, and being aware on where you're at in your trading. Okay, that's one. It's not going to be all the kind of roses and you know, smooth pathways, roadways. There's going to be tons of potholes and roadblocks, detours, and being aware is a key thing. So if you are trying to find a community or a person or a mentor, you know, really know that they will bring out different perspectives in what you're going through. So you got to be aware. And then two is, you know, then you got to accept it, right? Three, then you can go ahead and reflect. And then four is to go ahead and put into action with a correction or improvement. And, you know, like, we go back to our community, you know, that's what we're helping traders do in our community. You know, we're providing them a platform to share their experiences. We do want the one-on-one coaching, and we feel like we're empowering the clients or the students who want to learn, and giving them that piece of confidence, that boost of confidence that they never knew they had, you know. And that's going to help you carry and kind of shortcut the learning curve. Everyone will have that learning curve coming into the markets, you know, But if you are utilizing the resources that's out there and making the decision that you want to get better, the coaching, the mentoring is definitely a big help.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that, man. You made me think of a echo chamber. I've been part of like a lot of trading communities where it's just an echo chamber of the guy who founded it or the team that founded it. It's just the same thing over and over and over again. If people weren't successful, they would be like, "You could do it, you could do it, you could do it, you could do it," like all that. And that's great, but there's no actionable steps, there's no accountability there in the sense of like, okay, why? What happened here? Asking the tough questions. And I think something we do different at HTA is we ask those tough questions. It's almost uncomfortable to answer, but once you answer those tough questions about your own trading and about yourself, that opens the doors. It opens the doors to change. It opens the doors to success. It opens so many doors for yourself too. And I think that's the best way is if you're finding yourself listening to this podcast and you're not asking the tough questions, or you're in a place where they don't answer those tough questions, and it's an echo chamber. Just reconsider. Maybe start asking yourself those hard questions that you don't want to answer, and then answer them on your own. Answer them in your own deep consciousness, and then begin to share it with your close friends, and then maybe just a stranger. I think that's the best way forward. And yeah, man, I love this topic. I love this conversation that we're having, and I appreciate your time, man. Thank you.
First, man. Thanks for listening, guys. Whether you're looking to improve your trading, mindset, and growth, we'll provide you with the tools, tips, and inspiration you need to make your next breakthrough. So tune in and let's edge up together.